Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, June the 12th, 2009. Soybeans rallied and corn faltered as we entered the middle of June. What is yet to come this summer for new and old crop prices? We'll try to find out during this edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Dan Bossi of Ag Resource in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today are Jackie Bakes of the Stewart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, and Kirk Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Here's the way the numbers in Chicago ended the week at the CME Group. The high, low, and the settlement price and trade Friday to Friday. July futures in the wheat pit at $6.25 for the high on the week. Low at $5.77 with the settlement price at $5.84 3/4, down 38 1/4. Composite trade, of course, including the day and the overnight for the week. And the July 2010 contract settled at $6.75 3/4 for the soft red, down 40 1/4. July corn futures at $4.49 3/4 top on the week, the bottom at $4.20 3/4. The settlement price 18.5 cents lower than last Friday at $4.25 1/2. And December futures at $4.47 3/4 settlement price, down 19 3/4 cents on the week. July soybeans $12.91 1/4 for the high, the low at $12.16, settled 20 cents higher at $12.45 1/2. And the November new crop at $10.76 1/2. Finished 14 3/4 of a cent higher from Friday to Friday. Live cattle futures at the GCME Group. June contract 80.60 for the high, the low at 79.17 1/2, with the settlement price at 80.47 1/2, finished 32 1/2 cents higher. August at 97.57 1/2, up 95 cents, and the lean hogs at 57.95 for the high, a low of 56.80, and a settlement price for the June lean hog futures at $57.02 1/2, down 15 on the week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the June 12th edition of Commodity Week. Our panelists in studio are Jackie Vegas of the Stewart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Illinois, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Let's start with this question. Kurt, why and how did USDA manage to drop its feed and residual usage by 200 million bushels, and which part of the livestock sector won't be there to use it?
Well, mainly the big concern has been the hog complex here over the last few months. We've seen some liquidation occur pretty well across the board. I don't know if it's really called massive or not, but we've seen some livestock come to town. As we move along and through here, I think that trend is going to continue, especially if we see some higher grain prices. That might have been part of it, but, too, we got to remember the feed usage number is a miscellaneous category. If you go back in history and look at the supply-demand balance sheet, anytime we have tight supplies, such as a billion bushel or less, the feed use shrinks, and we have big supplies, feed use goes higher.
Chuck Shelby?
Well, the dairy's got to be thrown in there, too. There's certainly a struggle in that area, but in Indiana, we're one of the big hog-producing states, so the hog guys are liquidating, and I think we look for that number to maybe increase as they're really struggling here.
And Jackie Bakes?
Well, I would I'd agree with Chuck. I think it's coming more out of the dairy than anywhere else. By the time the year ends, I wouldn't be surprised if we had 300,000 to 500,000 cows gone.
Let's move our attention then from the livestock, and we can come back to it as we go through these numbers, but to the numbers that USDA released on Tuesday of this week. Jackie Vakes, can you tell me about the ending stocks, both new and old crop for corn, please?
Well, on the new crop corn, we ended at $1,090,000,000. You know, a pretty good number from the standpoint we're creeping closer to the $1 billion number, which seems to be the magic number down on the trade floor. Most of that came out of the fact that they dropped yield by 2 bushels to 153.4 on new crop and on old crop. No major changes on old crop when you come right down to it. We still have a lot of corn. I think the biggest thing that when you look at the USDA report, the thing that's bothering the trade more than anything else is how much corn is still out in the country in farmers' hands.
Well, that would be an old crop problem, but not necessarily a new crop problem, so we'll go away fairly quickly, I would think.
That's exactly right.
And will that go away with a much lower price, Chuck? And we remember we ended this week with the corn lower and managed to rally the beans still.
Well, I think you got a tale of two different corn belts. The basis in the eastern corn belt has really perked up, and I think that because the trade and commercial buyers had noticed that in the eastern corn belt, obviously the corn's struggling. So the western corn belt with a great start out there, those guys got a different basis situation. So as we go forward, I think the next component the market really needs to see, I don't think it's going to sell off too much here until it sees those planted acres, and that's still a wild card, Todd.
And can you tell me about the planted acreage and what your estimates are at this point? We'll come out at the end of the month, Kurt.
Well, I feel we're at least 1 to 2 million acres less. The big question is from the March report, still questionable acres where the acreage went there. But it seems just about everywhere we visit with producers, there's always seems to be someone that switched a small amount of acreage from corn to beans, and we feel that's going to add up.
Everybody else agree with that or have a different opinion, Chuck?
Well, certainly we think the bean acres are going up. The corn acres, when you had that report last March, there were some mysterious acres that didn't really show up. So you have to wonder if the guys in the western states really went gung-ho and planted acres that they might have not talked about or thought about planting in that March report.
Well, hold it. Let me ask you again. So where do you think planted acreage is? I've got 1 to 2 lower, but we've heard a tale of the western corn belt possibly putting more acres in.
I think Mike's kind of looking at it, you know, stabilized at the same number in corn, but the increase in bean acres, basically on the idea, again, that those acres that didn't get reported in the March report will show up.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I think that the corn acre situation could be down maybe 500,000 acres, maybe 1 million acres at the most. But the bean acreage is the wild card, although we do know that there's been more spring wheat planted than what they expected. And we might pick up 1 million acres in beans up there, but it's just nobody really knows. I think the acres that both the guys are talking about that just weren't there are all of that side. All that acres that we put in last year, every little field, every little pasture, everything, and a lot has gone back to pasture. We know that. A lot has gone back to corn silage. And so, you know, the question is going to be, will we be at, you know, what will we be at when it comes to acres? Are we going to be at 80 million? You know, is it going to go up that much? Or is it only going to go up 1 million from where we were? We really don't know.
Well, let's deal with these separately and stay with corn. And talk about old crop corn, because I suppose there probably is some concern in the countryside at this point if they've got corn in the bin and it's unpriced yet. And they're probably going to have to move it either because it's going to go out of condition or because they need to make room in the bin for the new crop. So What are we going to do with it?
Well, I think you continue to push it out the door. I think if you're going to hang on, you get down to your gamble material and see what July brings. But if you want to maintain ownership, I think you own it on paper versus cash.
I think you saw a market here that we tried the upside several times in corn last week, couldn't take it out. Kind of the report, kind of buy the rumor, sell the fact. I think the weather is kind of played in right now. So, again, going ahead and selling that corn on a recovery rally here and letting it go, the basis certainly has improved significantly.
You know, a couple of weeks ago I wrote on – and Dave Dickey, the director of Ag Programming for Illinois Public Media, generally writes the newsletter, but he was gone that weekend. And I wrote a headline that said, cautiously bullish, and we were at 450 corn, and the cautiously bullish was only 25 cents, 475 or thereabouts, or 480. And that's been the target I think, for many people for months now. Has that changed at all? And what does that say about the marketplace that we can feel bullish about corn and have an historically high price but think it's low at this point? I mean, it's a confusing sort of matter, I guess, is the point. And does it mean that we're trading up in at this point in really what we should be considering high prices again, and that we have to discount what happened last year and deal with this as a high-priced marketplace? And 25, because 25 cents just doesn't seem like a lot of room to the upside for people to be bullish in the marketplace.
Well, I got to say, speaking from the farmer side of it and talking to Illinois and Indiana farmers, is a totally different perspective than the guys Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Dakotas. Those guys are living a dream. They got a great start, great stands, and it's hard to look out our back door here and try, maybe get overly bullish or thinking we need more for our corn. So I think we got to really concentrate in the Eastern Corn Belt here on perspective. And that would mean to me that there's a great crop in the Western states. Our crop is off to a tough start, but it doesn't mean that it's a failure by any means. So I think we got to look at it from that perspective, Todd. And those objectives, I know Jack and Kurt kind of had the same objectives everybody did, and we've reached those.
That's exactly right. In fact, you know, when you look at the fact that we couldn't get through the 450 like you talked about, you wonder, does that mean it's farmer selling that's preventing us from getting through 450, that each time we get there we see more selling? That doesn't seem to be the case. But one other side, I think when we look at it too, it's easy for us to forget about what guys paid for inputs last year. And I think they're trying to squeeze every penny out they possibly can squeeze out. And the thing that I'm concerned about is at 450, you know, maybe you couldn't make it all the way, maybe you can't cover everything, but this is certainly a world of a better price than what we've looked at. And how can you sit back and wait for another 25 cents, perhaps? Take a position on the board, if that's the case, but get your cash tied up.
So you're protecting, 45 cents then at this point? If you're using crop insurance, right?
Yeah.
Is that
definitely.
And everybody wants to be in. Does everybody want to be protecting at this point? New crop. I know we're talking about new crop at this point again. So are you wanting to protect that 45 cents still?
Well, we feel so. I mean, it depends on your individual situation, but we feel there's risk to the downside. One thing we've done is we've implemented some put strategies. It's like I'm loving it, just like McDonald's thing, because basically on our put strategy on corn, we've given up 3-5 cents on that, but we've picked up 40, 50 in the other hand, and same thing in the beans. You know, we've out maybe anywhere from 8 to 15 cents, but we picked up $1 to $2 on the other side. So we're sort of living the dream here, and I feel that if this dollar turns around, we've got a head and shoulders in the dollar, we've got some tops in these currencies, and all of a sudden the dollar starts strengthening. It doesn't matter what the fundamentals are. New York believes whichever way the dollar goes, the grain market's going to go the other way.
All right. So, well, if you want the dollar to drop, right, and that we've got a head and shoulders top, right?
In the bottom dollar. In the dollar, which means the dollar could strengthen. We've got tops, bottom, which means the dollar could go up.
Right.
Tops. In the
you've got a head and shoulder
currency.
Bottom in the currency.
An inverted head and shoulders.
Right. And so, but that would mean that we'd be losing price in Chicago then.
That if that happens, that means there's downside risk in the grains if you believe in the theory of the dollar and the grain market.
Well, and I think another thing we have to take into account, and we saw it today when we saw the dollar strengthen over a buck overnight last night, Gaethner is going to be speaking at the G8 conference. And they're expecting he's going to tell them the U.S. government wants a strong dollar. Well, you know, we've got a conflict going on here. They want a strong dollar so that they can cover debt. You got to be able to sell debt to somebody. You need a strong dollar for that. On the other side, they're printing money like crazy, you know, and so there's a real conflict going on here. And I think we saw the profit taking in the dollar today, especially related to the anticipation of whatever his comments are going to be.
Has volume been high in the commodity markets the last several weeks?
Well, we're seeing that increase. And again, if you I think the answer to the question is not known yet, because Jackie's point there, we can go either way. If you believe in inflation, you're going to buy hard stuff. You're going to buy gold. You're going to buy commodities. You're going to buy farmland. The government, again, we see their attempts to do that, but they're trying to do two different things. I have a hard time believing they can, in the long run, keep the dollar up.
We have 1 minute. I want each of you to talk about the soybean market, and we'll start with you, Jackie.
You want me to talk about old crop?
Sure.
I think we're really in a squeeze for old crop. We're seeing 60 to 80 over on basis all the way from Minnesota all the way down through Iowa and into Illinois. I anticipate we could see a real fight on the board.
Interesting to see. A farmer in South Dakota told me they switched the basis to the November. They did that in Ohio the same day, so that's a real problem we got to worry about as producers.
Well, when cash bean bids are 40, 50 cents over the board, it tells you it's kind of tight.
And we'll be back in just a couple minutes when we'll talk with Dan Bossi. He's with AgriSource out of Chicago, Illinois. You are listening to Commodity Week. It's a production of Illinois Public Media.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. This week was more typically summer, with warm and humid conditions much of the week, along with occasional showers and thunderstorms. Rainfall was the heaviest in the northern and western edges of the state early in the week, with generally scattered showers and thunderstorms elsewhere. Thunderstorms move slowly across southern Illinois beginning Wednesday night, with the slow-moving storms dropping heavy rain and prompting flash flood warnings. There were several severe weather warnings as well, as a tornado watch was issued for much of the southern half of Illinois. The storms were fueled by warm and more humid weather this week. Temperatures averaged near to slightly above normal across much of the state. Through the first half of June, however, temperatures are running near normal in southern Illinois to 2 to 3 degrees below normal in the north. Some showers and thunderstorms may return to Illinois on Saturday night or Sunday, with chances lingering in southern Illinois into Monday. Chances for rain will return to most of the state on Tuesday again, as a warm front lifts northward through Illinois. While high pressure slides through the lower Great Lakes during the middle of the week, rain chances will diminish but not entirely go away. Temperatures will be near normal to slightly below normal during most of the week. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333, and by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers, because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the June 12th edition of Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelist in studio, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Illinois. Our guest today is the Executive Vice President of AgriSource Company in Chicago. His name, of course, is Dan Bossi. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome, Todd.
Are you bullish old crop soybeans, and if so, how bullish?
We adopted a bullish stance going back to the end of February based on what we were hearing and seeing out of Argentina, and we've started to lose a little of that flavor this week. Although I don't think it was the final exhaustion, there was a little exhaustion feel to the market on Thursday as meal futures went limit up and soybeans rallied near the 1973 high of $12.90 a bushel. So that was a place that we rang a bell. We told people to let go of supply, and there may be some additional squeezes going here. But when I look at Brazil this afternoon, their basis levels this week dropped 30 to 40 cents. You're going to hear more switching talk next week. There's rumors of imported meal coming into the southeast U.S. It just leaves me, this is a time of caution, and for someone who's been bullish, I'm changing my my skin, and I'm starting to become more neutral, focusing more now on new crop beans, where I think the demand profile is underestimated by USDA.
Well, if you're becoming more neutral, Dan, what are you recommending to your clients when it comes to the bean market?
Well, the first thing you do is you're running out of time and you've got big premiums nearby, so you better sell the old crop that you had. We came into the month of May still having 80% of our old crop, so this was a nice rally to part with it this week. If you wanted to keep a little scambling stocks back, that's fine. I'm just having real trouble looking at November beans, and even though we're at this high price, and we could pick up two and a half million acres, I still have balance sheets that are exceedingly tight, and I probably feel USDA is overstated on yield. So we're probably going to shift this rationing mode that we saw in old crop over to new crop, and I think we're seeing that to some degree in the canola market and rapeseed markets in Europe and Canada, and it's telling me anyway not to be overly bearish, at least until we can get a South American crop sometime next spring. So it's a year away before I think you can really get some bear claws in the oilseed market.
How much impact would 2 to 3 million more bean acres have on that November bean contract?
I think we need them. I mean, I think if you put the acres on there, you've also got to take your yield down probably a bushel. We're planting beans now very close to the summer solstice. They never yield very well. So even if you add the acreage, it's only keeping my numbers somewhere in the vicinity of 200 million bushels. We think USDA is at least 50 million bushels too low on their new crop bean export estimate. The Chinese are telling us that even if they sell a few beans here in early July, they're going to be keeping their crop in a strategic reserve. I don't think that's going away. And I think as the economy comes out of here and India has problems with its monsoon, that oil seeds are still a rather dynamic market.
Well, Dan, is it time to jump ship on the bull spread, or should we roll the long July to August and stay?
We pretty much jumped ship. I mean, I'm just running out of time. I mean, unless you want to play around in the delivery period, I'm concerned about what's happening in South America. We had a target of $1.80 to $2 on the July-November spread. I just, you know, it's becoming a game of with those that have brains and trains. We may have a little brains up here, but we don't have the train, so I'm going to leave that to the commercials.
All right, let's switch gears a bit. I think you'd we'd go to corn, but let's go to wheat because we'll be starting in the harvest season across the nation. Generally, I believe that wheat gets hauled to the elevator and sold. Is there something else they ought to be doing?
No, I do believe the wheat market is the one bear trend. I don't want to use the bear trend the term bear too loudly because I think the price of wheat is more aligned with the price of corn this year than we've seen in quite a while. But the Black Sea market came down $10 this week, indicating that there's some weakness there. I think that in a general sense, the wheat market has maybe another 10 or 20 cents of downside risk. Longer term, though, next year we'll think about everybody planting more feed grains and oil seeds. And so the wheat market, in a strange way, will come to life, but probably not until we start looking at the end of this calendar year or the beginning of 2010.
How much of an impact, Dan, do you think if we take the American dollar back down to that 72 to 75 it might have on that wheat market?
Listen, I spent a day in New York yesterday and now spend more time than probably any place in the Midwest. I'll tell you this, that there's a lot of money yet still looking at our agricultural space. And so it doesn't take much of a signal from them to push money in our direction, whether that's through futures or an ETF or an index fund. And so I don't think this is going to go away. I don't think they'll lay down. They all have a bearish view on a dollar, and they all want to be somehow participating in the space, even now starting to talk about returning to farmland investment, not so much here in the U.S., but globally speaking. And so, a fall in the dollar will again pull in money, and you can buy the entire U.S. corn, soybean, and wheat crop for about $80 billion. That seems like a lot of money to you and I in agriculture, but to the New York varieties, it's not a ton of money when you think about all the amount of equity they got to dispose. And so our space is one of their real forefronts in terms of where they see opportunity over the next year or two.
If wheat can't get going too well here, is that going to affect the corn market, or maybe it already has? Are those two tied together very much, do you think?
Oh, I think they have. I think both of them are tied together to some degree, but I have difficulty getting corn too much cheaper in December, let's say 425 to 435 until we make the crop. That being said, I mean, I've got the Black Sea where people are short feed wheat and having trouble finding it. I think it's hard for wheat to fall under the price of corn, and so if I look at a cash market that's 90 cents or a dollar under, we're not that far away from that. And so that's why I'm saying I think the downside risk from here in wheat is limited. I guess if I'm a producer and had some stuff sold, I'd look at the big option premiums and the put side of things and probably sell a put against my short futures just to lock in a range-bound market.
Dan, what's your idea on the corn and bean acres?
We are generally expecting U.S. corn acreage to come down a million, million and a half. We're somewhere between 83 and 84. We're looking for soybean acreage to go up anywhere between 2 to 2.5 million acres. I think it's pretty much in general what the trade is expecting. We don't think we're going to find those 7 or 7.3 million acres that was lost back in March. We just think that we didn't have the kind of cash profile this year that encouraged some of those marginal acres to be produced. And so we're looking for some changes around the edges, but I'm not sure the report's going to have a tremendous surprise. Maybe more importantly will be soybean stocks or wheat stocks as we look at the end of the June 1st position.
Tell me about the domestic livestock sector and how you view it and usage of corn and beans.
Well, first of all, let me point out to everyone, anybody who's tried to correlate snouts with feed residual demand has had a learning lesson. It just doesn't work very well. And so we look at livestock numbers, but we know and USDA knows that they don't correlate with feed demand very well because of a very large residual component. And so it depends to a large degree on crop size. I think on the USDA in their last WASDE report, they probably started at the bottom of the page in corn and worked northward. And one of the places to cut is going to be, of course, feed residual, which they did do. I think feed usage will be down from prior years. I think DGGs also plays that into that role to some degree. I'd hate to go too much below 5.1 or 5.2 billion bushels, at least at this juncture. So we've probably cut feed residual as far as we can cut. I think if you make any additional reductions, they've either got to come from the ethanol or export side, which I find to be fairly difficult. And so the corn market's going to be on edge throughout much of the growing season because we need that 153.4 yield that USDA threw at us. Anything less than that just isn't enough.
I take it that you are not concerned with the ethanol industry too particularly much, especially given the $70 crude oil price?
Exactly. I mean, the ethanol profitability is coming back. We're seeing demand for DGGs now because of soy meal prices. And so everybody's smiling a little bit in the ethanol industry, which is a kind of a change from where we've been over the last 2 or 3 months.
Well, Dan, is this $70, $75 benchmark in crude oil enough, or are we going to go higher?
I don't know. I mean, I have difficulty justifying where crude oil is today, but it's a little bit like I think some of these grain markets, when the money comes into a commodity, and a lot of times we should even be watching these ETFs, it just comes in bunches. And so I think there's a little bit of windage, New York windage in some of the crude oil market. But at the moment, I don't see any change why that would come out. Everybody in New York is watching this Iranian election very closely this weekend. I think it kept a lot of people on the sidelines today, which is maybe why Chicago saw some selling and saw some weakness. But depending on how that election comes out and the crude oil market reacts, I think that'll help dictate price action next week.
Any final word before I let you go, Dan?
My general sense of things is we look back over the next 6 to 9 months, we'll find that it was a deleveraging break, that the overall bull market in agriculture is still well and alive.
Thank you much. That's Dan Bossi. He's with AgriSource Company out of Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to Commodity Week. Our guests in studio are Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. We have time for a final word from them. Jackie Vakes, we'll start with you.
Well, don't let the opportunities, if you have old crop beans, pass you by with these great basis levels that we have right now, and make sure that you're on top of whether you have, if you have to sell corn, so does everybody else probably.
Chuck Shelby?
Make sure you have a plan again. We saw wheat drop over 75 cents on a July wheat in less than a week here. So be prepared for all kinds of volatility in corn and beans, too.
And Kurt Kimmel.
The Webster Dictionary had inflation listed as abundant cash, abundant credit, and higher prices. I can't wait for my checking account to see that abundant cash so I can help inflation.
And that is this week's edition of Commodity Week for June the 12th. You can always listen to it again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And remember, you can also subscribe to our free weekend newsletter there. It's just on the right-hand side of the page. Hit subscribe. If you don't like it, it's just as easy to unsubscribe. Have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason.